I need it. This is a participation deal, okay? So when I speak, I want a response. All right, so how many math majors do we have in the room? Or minor or majors? How many? One? Okay, so I talked to Eric this morning, and Eric went to the College of Charleston, and he was a minor, had a minor in math, and a, what was the rest? History and French, and then he got into the ministry, and now he's getting into the business world. So I said, well, you're going to like this because today, Eric, we're going to talk about math. And this is going to be a little unusual, Chris. So I don't know, have we ever talked about math before? And I'm not sure, but we're going to do it today. So I love math. I'm one of these guys that I absolutely love math. And I love doing spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. And as I was telling Eric, every spreadsheet I've ever done is wrong because there's a whole bunch of assumptions, which means that you're messing something up, right? So I do that all the time, but I love it. One of my favorite movies, has anybody seen Good Will Hunting? There we go. We got to like, so I love Good Will Hunting. It was about Matt Damon, who was a night janitor at MIT, and then he solved this big time math problem that was up on the board, and the professor was stunned and he couldn't believe it. So it's a great movie and I love it. So when I dug into today's parable, I was really excited to see it included a lot of math. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about math today. But first, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about God's math? Has that ever think about God being, he invented math, Brian? I know you didn't, Brian, but he did. So, a couple things. One, think about this. So, 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000. There's my math guy right there, Eric. Thank you, Eric. That's kind of a crazy thought, isn't it? How did that math doesn't compute in my model, in my Excel model? God is a triune God. Right, that's three in one: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How does that work? That's hard to, even from a divinity major or graduate. Eric, he did that also. And then man, we are triune, right? Body, soul, and spirit. So these things are hard concepts. And you know, there's lots of examples that we could go through, but you get the point. God knows his math. And his math's always bigger and better and more abundant than ours. So with that in mind, let's look at the parable of the sower. I learned something interesting about parables, by the way. I heard on a podcast or something, somebody was defining it. And parable, when you look into the Greek, para is beside, right? We know that, parakletos, Holy Spirit, beside you. And the word means to cast, to throw alongside. So we're going to throw alongside a truth today about a farmer who was casting, who was throwing seeds. So we're going to throw a seed, a truth around that. So with that in mind, we're going to go to the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, 1 through 23. It's also found in Mark 4 and Luke 8, and it's the only parable that's in those three. And we all know the story, and I've been given 15 minutes, so I'm going to do my best to stay on it. So I'm not going to read the 23 different verses, but Jesus tells us that the seed is the word of God, and he tells us that the soil is our hearts. So here's the summary of the story. Some of the seed was cast along the hard pan, along the pathway. And that's when the birds came, snatched it up. And Jesus says, this is the heart, this is the person who hears the word, but doesn't really understand it, and just kind of, just the evil one comes and snatches it away. So that's the seed that's on the hard pan. And then you have the rocky soil, and that's the one, the seed lands, but it doesn't have any depth. So that means that it ultimately, when the sun comes up, it withers away. Jesus said this is the one that's, you know, hears the word. Again, hears the word. And they endure for a little while because it'll spring up on rock. But then it's going to just fade away. And that's because People run into problems and trials and whatever it may be, but they're going to fade away in the face of this. Some of the seed land amongst the thorns. And these are the people that hear the word, of course, but the worries of life and the wealth, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and no fruit is produced. And then finally we come to the fertile soil, and that produces this huge harvest. Hears the word, totally open to the word, want to do the word, and it produces the harvest. So it's interesting, each one of them, each soil, each heart hears the word. But the first one, the heart's unchanged. It just doesn't change because they really don't believe it. The second one, pretty shallow, and ultimately over time, just fade away. And then the third, the thorns, is people slowly but surely get busy and with the cares of the world and all the things that go on in our lives, and basically they just lose interest in the Word of God. And then finally, there are those who hear the Word, and then they produce a rich harvest. So it's important, I think, to not let looks fool you, because we don't know the condition of anybody's heart. We don't know the condition. Only God knows that. But I can tell you that in a group setting, these four reactions to the word are commonplace. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's commonplace in our own hearts. Sometimes we get busy and just fade away. So it is important, therefore, that we tend to our own hearts, that we actually, we're responsible for keeping our hearts, our soil, in good shape, making it fertile. But this morning, with all those four types, I want to focus on the good soil, and that's the fertile soil, because I think most of the people in the room or online have fertile hearts, have hearts that are good soil. Luke says it this way. He says, the seeds that fall on the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear the word and cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. So back to the math problem. First thing is, what are we solving for? Well, we're solving for what's a huge harvest. I want to understand what a huge harvest is. It's not your bank account or your power or prestige. In fact, Andrew addressed it a couple of weeks ago when he was teaching on the Matthew 5. And you remember he said that Jesus put the lamp on a lampstand so that others could see. So Jesus is with these parables, we're really connecting fruit bearing with light shining. Put your lamp on a lampstand so people can see. And we do know that God wants us to be fruitful. We do know that he wants us to multiply. It says it in Genesis 1, right? Be fruitful, multiply. And so that's the harvest. Jesus wants us to bring others in the kingdom. He's going to use us to bring others into the kingdom. So we are to be multipliers. We're to be fishers of men, as he says later to Peter. And we're to be light shiners. Now, here's the question that I really want to drill down on. And that is, if the seed is the word of God and it goes into fertile soil, it goes into fertile soil, some of it produces 30 times. Some of it produces 60 times. And some of it 100 times. So the question is, what's the difference? I mean, that's 30. You have to do the math for me, Eric, but 30 and 60. I mean, it's a bunch. It's a big difference, over three times the harvest. So I do know this, that the hundredfold man, the one that produces a hundredfold, He is set apart. There's something different about him. Psalm 16:3 says, the godly people in the land, this is what God says, they are my true healers, heroes, the excellent ones, and I take pleasure in them. So we know that God wants excellence. He wants us to be excellent. He wants 100-time return. He wants 100-fold men. So as we're getting ready to land here in just a second, I want to narrow the scope. How can 100-fold man be excellent? That's the first question. And the second question is, what does 100-fold man, an excellent man, look like? So the Bible talks a lot about excellence. And I've probably read 20 or 30 some odd verses on excellence. And it was very powerful. Here's just a couple of examples. Daniel distinguished himself because of his, and the Bible says, his excellent spirit. Paul says, hey, let me show you a more excellent way. And then Peter says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that they may observe your good deeds and glorify God. In other words, he was a light shiner. He was a multiplier. That's what he's encouraging us to do. So what does, number two is, what does a 100-fold man look like? Joshua 1:8 tells us this. It says, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. That's the first thing. Meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully according to all that is written in it, for you will make your way successful and you will be wise. So how we act is really important. And then Psalm 1 really validates this. If you read Psalm 1, it's just such a powerful, powerful psalm. It just totally validates it. So as we're, in summary, let me say this. In summary, excellent men think the Word of God, they speak the Word of God, and they act on God's Word. So 100-fold men spend time in the secret place, in the quiet time. Because you can't be thinking about it if your mind is just totally controlled by TV news or internet or whatever. You have to spend time alone in the Word. And when you do, when you think about God's Word, here's some things that you'll discover. And you have discovered, because you are fertile in your 100-fold men, I believe it. First off, that God's Word is living and active. Right? I mean, it's unbelievable. It saves souls. That's what the Word of God does. You talk about something powerful. The Word of God saves souls. It produces faith. And where does faith come from? By hearing through the Word of God. We know that when you think about it, Todd, every word is true and every word is pure. Every word. Another one is that it transforms our minds. You talk about something powerful. When you think about that, when you think that the Word never returns void, you're gonna hold on to that. That is such a truism, it's unbelievable. So think about God's Word. Also, the 100-fold man, when he speaks, things change. The atmosphere is changed. I want you to remember this. God spoke the world into existence. He didn't do it. He spoke it into existence. And Paul tells us that when he's arming us up for battle, he says that the Word is a sword. You know, when we speak it, it's a sword in our battle. We know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat it, love it, will eat its fruit. I want to speak it more if I'm going to get all that fruit. We know that the Word of God cleanses us if we confess our sins. Let's verbalize it, if we say it out loud. So back to the mustard seed, I think I spoke about earlier. Jesus tells us that by speaking the word, this is in Mark 11, if we speak the word and believe it and don't doubt, we can move mountains. Well, that's hard to grab hold of, but that's what God's word says. And then the final thing is we need to, 100-fold men are men of action, right? They got to act. There are times to think. There are times to speak. There are times to pray. And then there are times to act. Sometimes we just have to act. James tells us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Jesus said, blessed is the man who hears the word of God and does it. Paul says that we were created for good works. And Jesus says that we will be his witnesses. So that's, to be a witness, you got to be acting. That's how we bring in the harvest. So these are some of the hallmarks of the 100-fold man. And God wants you and I to be excellent on our own. But listen, we're going to fall short. But the challenge today is to think on God's word, to speak it, and then to shine your light or act on it. Be a light shiner. And if we keep adding excellence to our faith, God will bring an excellent spirit in us, just like he did Daniel. And then God's going to say, you're my hero. And I think that's going to happen. Now listen, we're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to do something a little different. And if you're comfortable, good. And if you're not, it's okay. So I'd like for you to stand, please, with me. And I'm going to pray, and I'd like for you to pray alongside me, if you're comfortable. After I pray, you pray, and we'll be done. So, Father God, I believe that your word never returns void. Therefore, I commit to meditate on your word. I want to be a man of excellence. I want to be a fisher of men. And I declare that I am a man of action. And I will charge the atmosphere with the sound of my voice. Father, help me to live as a 100-fold man. I ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. And all the men in the room and online said in a loud and hearty said, amen. Thank you, man. Have a great time at your tables.